Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
One of the most productive inventors with regards to electricity was a man called Thomas Edison, who lived about 100 years ago. He experimented with many devices, but is best known for making the electric light bulb. Generations of people have been very thankful for this invention ever since. At the time, though, Edison worked very hard. He tried 10,000 different experiments to make the light bulb before he found one that worked. This was true persistence and perseverance. When a friend tried to console Edison about all the failed attempts, he was not downcast about so much wasted time and effort. Instead, he replied that he had found 10,000 ways that don't work. In today's Bible adventure, we see persistence of a different kind. King Saul had set his heart on killing his very successful warrior David. Since the Spirit of God had left him, Saul's mind was taken over by evil. With his mental focus on wanting David dead, Saul mulled over different ways of making this happen. Did you know that our thoughts make us what we are? Thoughts produce actions, actions produce habits, and habits produce character. Some mental discipline is needed to check on what we're thinking about all day long. If we desire godly character, we must keep our thoughts of Jesus Christ and his teaching in our conscious thinking, day and night. But if we want to have worldly thoughts, the entertainment industry will happily fill our minds with things that draw us away from our love of our Creator God. The Ten Commandments in the Bible book Exodus chapter 20 teach people not to murder one another. The Lord Jesus' teaching went one step further. In the Bible book Matthew chapter 5, he said that whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of judgment. And in 1 John chapter 3, it says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. After Saul's failed attempts to kill David with his spear, Saul plotted more attacks on David's life, but gave orders so that other people would do the dirty deed for him. What must David have thought? Was he not anointed to be the next king of Israel? How could God possibly bring this about?
Saul, chosen of the Lord, great, mighty, wise, and just king of Israel, approaches and sits upon his throne. Long live the king!
Long live the king!
Long live the king!
Jonathan, come and stand by my side, here at my right side.
Yes, your majesty.
At my right now stands my eldest son, Jonathan, who is heir to the throne of Israel, upon which I now sit. By the laws and customs of ascension, he shall be your next king. There is among us, however, a man who aspires to be king in his stead. He plots, he lies, schemes, he even murders. He will stop at nothing to become king. This I shall prevent with your help. Every one of you shall do all in the power of your position as members of my court to bring this man's plots, yes, even his life, to an immediate end. That is a command. This aspirant to the throne of Israel is but a lowly man. He started life as a shepherd, a poor shepherd, who has, by sinister, diabolical means, won the heart of my daughter Michal, and is my son-in-law. I command you, all of you, to hunt down and kill on sight David, son of Jesse.
But father, surely...
There is no exception to this. You, Jonathan, my son, are included. I order you to kill David on sight without quarter or mercy.
Jonathan, what brings you here?
I've been looking for you. I wanted to find you before any of the others did.
I'm honored, Your Highness.
Well, aren't we still friends?
You're my best friend, Jonathan.
I love you, respect and honor you above all other men.
You sounded so formal.
And you, Jonathan, my friend, sounded so stern and unfriendly. Well, so cross. I was worried lest something had come between us to threaten our friendship.
Oh, no, David. Nothing like that shall ever happen. But, David, you must hide immediately.
Hide? From whom?
The king, all his court, everyone. They're all out to kill you.
Kill me? Why?
My father is angry and has ordered your execution.
But why?
Oh, I wish I knew the answer. But he is openly out to get you. Claims it's to prevent you from becoming king instead of me. Although I'm sure it is simply because God no longer can bless him. The evil one completely controls his every thought and action.
Was there anything I can do to help?
Yes, hide. Hide quickly, where no one will find you until I've had a chance to talk with Father and plead for your life. Oh, please, David, please.
As you wish, Jonathan.
I'll talk with Father tonight. Oh, surely I can persuade him to revoke the order. We'll meet right here in the morning. Agreed?
Agreed, my friend.
Oh, thank you, David, thank you. See you in the morning.
But why do you plead for David's life? Know you not that he seeks the throne that rightfully belongs to you?
I ask only, Father, that you remember the many things David has done to preserve the honor. Oh, yes, even the life of Israel. He has many times literally risked his life and wrought great salvation from the Philistines. He has never done anything, not one thing, against you or Israel, and you know it, Father. What terrible guilt would rest upon you were you to murder the one whom God himself has chosen to be his anointed.
Well, you plead eloquently, my son, and you are right. As the Lord liveth, David shall not be slain.
Oh, I'll tell David the good news.
It is good to have you back, David, my son.
It's good to be back, Your Majesty.
You led the army to a mighty victory against the Philistines.
Well, the victory was the Lord's, Your Majesty.
Yes, but the people acclaimed you the victor.
The Lord blessed my efforts, that's all, Your Majesty.
Yet the people praise your wisdom and heroism. You realize, of course, that I am king, that I am the real leader of the army, that I am the true hero.
Of course, Your Majesty.
Of course, Your Majesty. Armor bearer, hand me my javelin. I'll show David I am the king. I missed him!
Father threw a javelin at you?
Yes, but the angel of the Lord protected me, and I escaped from the palace and came directly home.
Oh, an evil spirit controls Father more every day. And he won't give up, David. He'll continue until he succeeds in slaying you.
Spies? Soldiers?
They're surrounding our house.
But Michael, the Lord has chosen me as the next king of Israel. And God's purpose cannot be defeated.
But you must do your part. You believe that, don't you?
Yes.
Well, then get up and escape while the night is still dark.
But how? Where to?
Oh, the spies are watching the doors. I know. I'll let you out an upper window. You can go to the prophet Samuel at Ramah. Well, certainly Father holds sacred the abode of the prophet and won't send soldiers there.
Not even the sacred abode of the prophet Samuel was out of bounds to the darkened mind of the desperate king. David's connection with Samuel aroused even further the jealousy of the king. Consequently, he sent officers to arrest David and bring him back to Gibeah, where he intended to carry out his murderous design.
Bring him back here at once!
Yes, Your Majesty.
Try to escape me, will he? I'll show him. Oh, I can't wait to see the horror on his face when he is tortured and finally killed.
Rhema.
The spirit of the Lord comes upon them, sir. And they obey God's will, not yours.
So that's it. And I know how to stop that. Prepare the royal chariot and retinue. I myself will go to Rhema and personally arrest David.
The loyalty shown by Crown Prince Jonathan and David's wife Michal saved David's life. Both King Saul's children showed great courage in protecting David when they could have been expected to show loyalty to their father. Abner, Saul's general, showed loyalty to Saul by helping with Saul's plans to murder an innocent man. This just-following-orders mentality, as shown by Abner, has been repeated down through the centuries when courts of law have tried war criminals for their inhumane treatment of war victims. Dogs have long been known for their loyalty to their masters. One such dog lived in Scotland until his owner passed away in 1858. This dog kept up a 14-year watch over his master's grave. Every day he was fed by the family looking after the cemetery. The dog became famous and when he died was buried beside his master. The main Scottish newspaper printed an article highlighting the dog's loyalty, and a wealthy lady paid for a bronze statue of the dog to be placed on top of a water fountain near the cemetery. People are often less loyal than animals. When a friend tells us a secret that should be kept a secret, the temptation to tell someone quickly comes to mind. We can justify the telling of those confidential matters because we think it's in the other's best interest to know. This temptation to broadcast private information, however, can come often to those who counsel people in trouble. If the person who confided the information finds out, there is an immediate loss of trust in the counsellor and embarrassment all around. The quickest way to stop gossip and rumours from causing damage is to say nothing, especially when secrets are entrusted to us. One outstanding example of loyalty in the scriptures is shown in the first chapter of the book of Ruth. Ruth promised to stay with her mother-in-law Naomi all the days of her life while they travelled back from the land of Moab to Naomi's home in Bethlehem. Ruth became the great-grandmother of David, whom King Saul was now trying to kill. A man famous for his efforts to supply Bibles to communist countries in Europe told about his loyalty to Christ when he was arrested and interrogated. He developed a pattern of preaching powerfully to everyone he could see while he was detained. He reasoned that the authorities would be afraid that he'd make converts. Of course, the authorities didn't want that, so they arranged for him to leave the country immediately. How about your own loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ? He made it quite clear that we cannot be loyal to two masters. Do we behave loyally only when it's convenient? Are we dependable and prepared to set aside our own plans so Jesus' name will be honoured? Sometimes loyalty is very costly. Princess Michal didn't see her husband again for many years. Devote yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. He died so that you might escape the torment of hell. Pray to him and praise him for his great love now. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.